Okay, Dennis and Veronica will now share their experience on step 10 with us.
All right. Dennis Alcoholic, good to be here. So step 10 was a learning lesson for me. I think, to be 100% honest, when I started doing 10 steps, you know, it was way back, and our group was trying to figure out literally the 10th step. It wasn't like, I mean, if you're doing 10 steps now, it's a lot different than the 10 steps I used to do, because back in, you know, 1988, a 10th step would just be, I'm going to figure this out. And that's the truth. Like, there was, these guys ahead of me would go through these directions, and meeting after meeting, some of the shortest meetings at the Men's Big Book Step Study Group in Hyannis was step 10, because I don't think anybody had a real full understanding back then of it, honestly. As we studied this book and I listened to these guys, what my 10 steps were before, nothing like they are now. So there's five directions that I know that are in the 10th step. And if I don't have them by memory, then I'm not very good at my 10th step. So the first direction is continue to watch. And I used to skip over that one like it was no big deal. I would, and it got me actually into a lot of trouble. Because if you're not watching for your own behavior, you're going to miss it. I'm going to miss it. I keep saying you, but I mean I. So I am going to miss my own behavior. So we didn't do all this work. I didn't do all this work and all this experience of looking at my life to just revert back to the person that I was. So everyone in the room knows by this point that I'm a very selfish, dishonest, self-centered alcoholic. And those three things, they end up putting me terrified. You know, we step on the toes of our fellows, they retaliate, and a guy like me, I just want to blame them for everything. Well, this process is all about one thing. It's about watching my behavior, you know. Something I've been practicing for a number of years. It's not in this book, but I categorize it as the 10th step is to watch what I think, which is, you think this process is hard? Like, watching what I think. Because before I say anything negative or hurtful or judgmental, I'm going to think about it. So through some other books that I don't really talk about other outside literature when I'm speaking at an AA meeting, just because it's not conference approved. Maybe 11th step, I dip into a few things. But when I discovered that direction, continue to watch for my conduct, whatever it may be, which when I really am living this 10th step, it changes everything. Again, it's not about, you know, if I'm out to dinner with somebody, I try to pay attention to the person I'm out to dinner with. I'm not looking around the room and not paying attention and on my phone. I hate going to dinner with people and they're like, I probably won't go back to dinner with them, honestly. It's not my thing. The only reason I keep looking at my phone is to check the time. So when I continue to watch for my own selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, self-seeking, or fear, then, you know, that's the first direction of that 10th step. So I believe if I see something coming, you know, this may sound long and drawn out, but this is really, really important. This could be a day-ender, a week-ender, a month. If you give an alcoholic a resentment like me, and I hold on to it, not only am I going to have a bad day, I am going to make sure everybody has a bad day. And as an alcoholic, like, I hate to tell you, but we got a pretty good ability to do that. Like, I could offend multiple people in no time whatsoever. You know, and I don't want to live that way anymore. I try to stay in the positive. I don't want to be around, I'll stay around somebody negative, you know, a pigeon. You know, again, like the preamble says, for me, besides the AA preamble, it's like, I'll listen to the problem. But then I always like saying, okay, we heard the problem, let's quickly move on to the solution. Like, I don't want to hear the ragtime, because what I used to do, my 10-step went like this. Oh, so this is what happened. And I'd run through the resentment on the phone. You're never going to believe it. And I justify. Oh, okay, you got to go, click. Then I dial another number and I tell the story again and again and again and again. And I'd carry that sign around. Whatever it was, it was self-pity. And this is one of my favorite things. Self-pity, I call it, it's like the gateway drug of this guy right here. Like, nobody can feel sorry for themselves like me. I heard that and was like, ding, that's me. I self-pity is a fool's errand for me. And so after I continue to watch for my this behavior, I've had such bad and poor behavior for so long, I know what's coming. Like, obviously for me, I watch for my selfishness. You know, that's usually where it starts. God bless you. I usually want something. I want to control something. I want to manipulate something. I'm afraid of losing something. So that's when my selfishness comes out. And why? Well, because this stuff, I have to have this stuff to defend myself from myself. And like I said, if I watch my thinking and I really have, you know, a higher power of God in my life, which I do, then there's a thing my sponsor used to talk about, and I have felt it many, many times, and that's because I've done this work, I live this work, and I literally have done the best I can. And some days I am literally bulletproof. You can't touch me. Like, that's how confident I feel about this stuff. Like, you could kick me in the shin and poke me in the eye, and I'd be like, ah, it's okay. You know, like, if you get to a certain point and you really apply this stuff to your life, it's like, it doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. It really matters what I'm doing, and it really matters what I'm thinking about. Like, am I thinking about being helpful to anybody, or am I just in here to get what I want? And to me, this doesn't apply just to alcoholics. This is anybody I come across. I ride that boat to Nantucket, and the most amazing things, you look at these, here's a quick example to jump off this. It's not really jumping off, but it is. This guy walked up to me, and I meditate on the boat with my earphones in, and he's like, what the hell are you doing in the back of the boat every day? Like, what are you doing? What is up with you? Like, are you high? Like, what is it? There's something going on with you. And I was like, listen, there's a meditation website. I go on it. I meditate. He's like, really? Guess who meditates with Dennis on the boat now? Yeah. This big badass construction worker that people like. I just turned him onto a website. Onto an app. And I can track them. We're like, you know, we're friends on the app. But people are like, and I've attracted a couple of these people. Now there's, and I sit in the quietest part of the boat. That's where I like to sit. I don't want to swap stories and badmouth. I mean, if you sit in one part, you don't want to sit in that part, because all they do is talk crap about if the guy who didn't show up, he's getting shit talked about him that day. But I'm not interested in that anymore. So when I continue to watch for these things, that's where it really starts for me. When these crop up, I ask God to remove them immediately. For me, if I like I've pointed out before, you know, it's most effective when I get on my knees. I don't care who, what, when, and where is watching me. I don't care. And you know what? This is a fact for me. Most people don't care. No one cares if Dennis is on his knees. And the last thing I'd say in today's society, like, the last thing they probably think you're doing is saying a prayer. You know what I mean? They think you're tying your shoe, they dropped your important cell phone, you lost something, who knows? But, like, if you're not afraid, for me, I'm not afraid of relying on a higher power in front of anybody. I've done it in basketball courts. Every time I get on my snowmobile, I say a prayer. On my knees in front of 100 sledders. Plus, I have a helmet on, so that is a slight advantage. But you're either living this stuff or you're not. It's really that simple. So When I ask for it to be removed immediately, and I don't wait, I'll never forget, one of my guys calls me. He goes, it was like 10 o'clock, and then I go, hey, what's up? He goes, oh, I had a day. And I go, well, what happened? And he goes, oh, I saw this guy stole a job from me. So I went in. He was eating breakfast quietly. I screamed at him entire the whole restaurant, told him what a jerk he was. He underbid me on the job and this, that, insulted his character and this, that, and the other thing. Now, this kid's through his ninth step. He helps so many guys. And he goes, so my wife, who's in the program, Big Book Girl, he saw the guy and he's like, I'm going in. She goes, I wouldn't. Well, what did he do? He couldn't wait to get in there. Gets back in his truck, spills his coffee. You know how the rest of his day went. You know what I mean? Awful. And I go, Rob, did you just say breakfast? Oh, I'm sorry. I mean, you know who Rob is, but Rob, didn't mean to like throw his story, his name in, but I said, did you say breakfast? I go, dude, it's 10 o'clock at night. What? Open the book and read the instructions. It says immediately, not 10 o'clock at night. And he has told that story so many times, and it's, you want to suffer all day? Then don't do it immediately. That's what I said. You want to have another one of those days? I go, honestly, it's probably going to be one of the best days of your life. And he goes, how's that? I go, because you're never, ever going to forget that, ever. So from next time this happens, you know what to do. Don't wait till 10. Do it immediately. Then we discuss this. I like to discuss it. So my 10 step, I have tons of guys I do 10 steps with. I don't call them, these are my brothers that I've been in my life for decades. I can call my brother. Some stuff I don't really, don't take it personally if you hear this, John, but it's family's family, you know. Like, I call Donnie. Donnie is the guy that took himself through this process. He was the first guy through the Big Book Step Study Way, whatever. I listen to his 10 steps. He listens to my 10 steps. And there is, I want some feedback. Bobby B is another guy. So if I'm having this different guys that I do different 10 steps with, because they have this amazing word in here. It's called experience. Mm-hmm. Bobby has children. Some of these guys don't have children. Some of them have wives. Some of them have ex-wives. Some of them had relationship problems. And that's because I sit in the meeting, listen to them, and take in their stories and say, ding. And what I mostly do is I do a lot of 10 steps with brand new guys that have never, they're like, what is this? So I'm teaching them, and they trust, they're hearing my stuff. Like, you know, this is, you're just talking to another drunk that wants his way out. And I do these 10 steps with these new guys. Why? Because someday I want them to do them with me or anybody, honestly. And I discuss these things, and that's where I discover what I do is the 4-step process. Here's the resentment. This is the injury. This is what it affects. Here's where I was selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and afraid. And before I do any of that, it starts just like this. Let's ask for help. Mm-hmm. Always. Always. Now that quiet, to sit quietly like we did, moment of silence, quickie, and then I do this process, and I verbally do that. Before that, before I get to that point, even any of this, when this stuff comes in, when I recognize it, I just ask God to remove it, and sometimes it's removed. But not always for this guy. You know me. I mean, you don't know me, but you know guys like me. Like, I'm a resentful, even through this work. Like, I want, still, my mind tells me lots of lies. Like, I'm a good guy. I've been in Big Book, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean anything. That, to me, doesn't mean anything. So sometimes it's gone. Most of the time, I have to do this, which is discuss it with these guys, come up with a solution. If I own amend, again, and I skip this, talking about the ninth step. Emails, text messages, all that crap doesn't count. Mm-hmm. Last guy I heard said, I emailed my amends. Well, he's no longer with us. Shocking. No offense, but he was a great teacher for me. There is no such thing as an apology. I love you, Savannah, but she likes to make amends to me via text message, which doesn't count in my book. So. And believe me, I've had some very difficult amends with her. Because she is she's a spitfire. She's a lot like me. And she doesn't let things... She is a very healthy young girl, put it that way. And she doesn't miss a thing, put it that way. And so after I go to this part of the instruction of making amends, the last instruction is go out and try to be helpful. And that can mean a lot of different things. For me, I just usually pick up the phone. I try to call somebody. There's somebody I can help right off the most amazing things. That's the payoff. This is where you get the full circle of all the principles of the 12 steps are wrapped up in that in the 10th step. You know, the asking to be removed, like not the confession of sins, but the discussing of the issue, making amends. You know, like the 5th step is talking about it, making amends. That's the 9th step, and you're looking at right at 12. Whoever it is, somebody's going to benefit, and it's not going to be me. I don't go help somebody so I get something. Mm-hmm. And how I do that is very simple. It has a lot to do with the next step, which we'll talk about tomorrow, which is the 11th step. If I've tapped into this power, which for me, I have absolutely tapped into a higher power that has given me amazing, the intuitive thoughts that I have gotten and followed through on have been life-changing for me. That has changed. That right there has probably changed my life more than anything. So when I ask, who am I going to help? It's like, bang. I might have one or two thoughts of who's it going to be or how am I going to help. And there's an old saying in Alcoholics Anonymous that I got from the old timers, and they say, you can go and help somebody, but you don't tell anybody. And mm-hmm. if you do, it doesn't count. That doesn't count. And so you don't go and help somebody to get yourself out of trouble and then go, well, guess what I did? That doesn't count in my book. And it's just, to me, it's common sense. It goes against everything that I had just done. And if I can do something for somebody, I'm not talking about putting $100 in the basket. I'm talking about asking God for help that somebody's in a lot of pain that needs somebody to help. And whatever that is, something they basically can't do for themselves. And I do it for my neighbors. I do it, whatever it is. The most amazing thing in this step is that's the payoff for me. When I do that and they don't find out, it's like, oh. If that doesn't explain how this thing works, that doesn't just change my life. I'm not even talking about being in the resentment anymore. This stuff it's removed. And the quicker you do it, the quicker it gets removed. And so that's the good news. So if you do all that work and it doesn't work, you got to get one of these out. Which, not my favorite, but then I have to write it out. If I'm holding on to some vicious amend, vicious resentment, and fancy to real. If I'm holding on to that, this will get it out. This mm-hmm. always gets it out. The pen never lies. It never ever lies. Because if you ask for help and you're honest with yourself and I'm honest with myself, it's going to come out. And then what I do, if that happens, is I either call up Donnie or Erland or one of my guys and either do it over the phone or I just run over to them and I don't wait a couple days. I get it done as soon as possible. Because, you know, it's like we talked about into action. This is all about, now we're into the action part of the steps where I have to actually do something to get a result. You know, if you want it, you want the result, you got to do the action. And this is the action. And I know for me, when I do that 10th step, I have, not only does it work, I rely on it. I've relied on that 10th step for my entire sobriety, I just say my life. I've been sober longer than, I'm 52, so I've been sober longer than, I certainly have been drinking, but over half my life I've been sober. And these are the principles that I've come to rely upon that work. I mean, it's solid proof. It's time after time my life has got better when I get out of the way. And 84 to 88 has been my mantra for, did I not hit the, guess what? I didn't hit the start button. So I got your 30 minutes. No, I'm just kidding. I'm gonna end soon anyways. No. not only has it's changed my life, but you know what? I remember in a small way, I taught my parents how to do this. In another way, You know, my daughter's in Alcoholics Anonymous. What do you want to hear when someone's walking around the house angry? I'm like, well, you know, there's this thing they call the 10th step. But I don't present it like that. I try to present it like, you know, if you want to talk about it with me, you know, no big deal. If not, I don't get my feelings hurt about this stuff. I just try to, present it and carry this message. And I realize that the minute that I stop making these decisions on my own and I bring a higher power, a God, into my life, then the minute I can do the opposite of living a spiritual life. So the opposite of living a spiritual life is something we probably all have done. That's why we're here. We've all suffered in one way or another. So the suffering's over for me if I apply this to my life. And that's optional. And there's been times where I don't want to do it. There's been times where I'd like, no, I'm good. I'll sit in it. And but I've also seen that this do so much good in my life and others that it's automatic for me, like most of the time. Like it'll come in, I know what to do, but there's times I'll resist it. I'll just say that. And I don't know what I think. I can teach myself another lesson of pain, but once in a while, this happens. And it talks about we have ceased fighting anything or anyone. And that includes myself. So to me, this is, I know I talk about self a lot, but self is the key. Getting out of self is the key to this whole thing for me. And I go back to that, I said it earlier in this when we spoke, is that I'd always look for outside things to keep me happy. And that's not what works for this alcoholic. I have to build and have a solid relationship with myself to be successful. And when you have a good relationship with yourself, then it's attractive. People can see it. I don't do it for any of those reasons, but I'm done, you know, thinking that other people are going to make me happy, because it doesn't work. It's what I bring to the table to try to be helpful to others. That's my purpose. One of my purposes on this planet is to just carry this message and try to live a happy life, you know, a simple, happy life. And as a result of doing this 10th step, that's exactly what has happened to me. My direct experience is that when I work the 10th step, my life changes for the better. It always has, and it always will. The only one that's going to stand in the way of that is the guy that's talking right now. So I'm in charge of my own destiny. Just like I figured out I was an alcoholic, I figured out that this stuff works, and when I apply it, it's real simple. Then my life gets better. And when I choose to take the ball and go home or grab the baby rattle and I'm going to figure this out on my own, then I'm screwed. I'm bumming. It happens to me all the time. So really good to be here. You're up, Ronica.
I have experience with the step, and I have experience not doing the step. So the word continue was hammered into me, and the definition is basically persist in an activity or a process to carry on with, to remain in operation without ceasing, right? So it's, you know, when people say, oh, this is the maintenance steps, it's not about maintenance, right? It's about continuing. And what, are we good?
Speaking.
Hello? It's not on.
Did
we break it?
I didn't need a mic.
No. Okay. All right. Anyway. So, I'm going to be humble. And I'm going to tell you a good story about not working the 10th step. I tell you this, and it's not as an excuse, but it's the how I run the show and drift from God, because I take on way too many things sometimes, and I think, like, I can do what, I have to do it, it's up to me, right? So, a couple months after my sister passes away, I had a nonprofit thrift store, which I used to help people in recovery, right? I was suing the landlord because the roof had been leaking since day one. I was closing the store, packing the store up. I had the halfway house. I'm working a job. I'm on the road all the time, so the stuff is piling up, right? I'm probably getting aggravated at times. I'm in fear. I'm grief. All this kind of stuff. So this is God. All these little like warning bells, right? And I'm like, I can deal with it. I can deal with it. You know, call somebody up, do a quick 10-step, or maybe not even. And you know, I'm just kind of rolling with it. I'm on autopilot. So I'm dating this guy, and the relationship's not going well. All right. So I'm closing the store up, and we weren't a good mix, and I knew it for a while, but, you know, like, lots of times I'm the dog chewing the bone, I'm going to make this work out, because I'm afraid that, you know, if I don't have it or whatever, right? And all of a sudden, he says something that was probably not the best thing to say, irrelevant, but it was like the TNT, like when you see those cartoons, like the coyote rope, you know, the coyote and the stuff just goes kaboom. I just lose it. I'm packing stuff up, and I'm breaking dishes, yelling, blah, 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 right? And then I'm pushing them, and I'm yelling them, right? And all of a sudden, I'm like, so the first thought, you know, because I have a certain reputation in Alcoholics Anonymous that I feel like I can't let anybody know the truth. First thought is, he's going to tell everybody that I'm losing it, right? So I'm more concerned about what everybody else thinks. The next second, right after that, is you better call somebody right now, and you better get your ass to do some writing right now. I got on the phone immediately. I said, God, please help me. I got on the phone immediately, and I called two women, just like that. And I got them both. And I told the first one, and they chuckle, you know, but they weren't, you know, and they're like, all right, you know, right away, told them both. And then that day I went home and I did some writing, right? Did some more writing. And I did the 10 step, and I had to make amends to him immediately, you know? So I see how this stuff can slowly slip in because they think I'm okay and I'm not paying attention to that sixth sense, to that, you know, that feeling, because I know what it feels like when I'm off the beam. Like, I know it. But sometimes I choose to, like, yeah, I'll get to it or whatever, because it's just a little rumbling. But these women and men that I do 10 steps with, they care about me enough and love me enough that they tell me the truth. So I don't know about, you know, my family wasn't like that. There was a lot of, like, criticism and judgment or nobody wanted to talk about anything. So it wasn't safe to talk about stuff. But through this process, I learned that first the humility, right? And that I got to tell the truth. So, I got to write about it. Because, you know, if I'm aggravated at the bank teller because she was taking too long talking to somebody else when, you know, I'm important and I got to go and I'm short with her, I can pretty quickly do a 10-step and go back and say, you know what, I was wrong. You know, I was short with you, and that was, you didn't deserve that. And, you know, they're like, oh, no, I appreciate it. You didn't have to say that. No, I did, because you don't need to be putting up with my stuff. And I really appreciate you saying that, right? So I write the stuff out, and I talk to these women. Without a doubt, for the next 2 weeks, I am telling you, 70% of the meetings that I went to the next 2 weeks were on the step 10. So I'm in the meetings, and I'm talking about what I did. Because, you know, that's the humility to let people know that no matter how much work I do and how much I might have learned about myself, that if I start drifting and thinking that I know best or I can put something off or I don't need to deal with something or it's not that big of a deal, that this is the stuff happens, you know. And that's the warning bell for me to let me know that if I don't pay attention to this, I know what path I'm going to, and I have a lot less tolerance to this stuff than I did maybe years ago, right? Because I know where it's going to go. and I'm in my meetings, and I'm, you know, I didn't say who the person was, and I didn't imply who the person was. Because, you know, it's a small community. If I'm around a meeting where, you know, we all go to, and or people know who I'm involved with, or who the women are I'm working with, or whatever. So I can cloak it in somebody I work with, or a person, you know, that came into the store, or whatever it is. I don't have to say the person's name, and I don't have to let other people know what's going on, because that's not fair to that person either, right? But I, for my own humility, because I want to think I have this reputation, one, because I want the reputation, and two, I'm afraid if I don't have the reputation, you won't like me anymore, and you'll think I'm a phony and a failure. But I laid that one out, and that was one of the biggest lessons I learned. It was not quite a few, but 5-6 years ago. But I learned, maybe not quite that long ago, but it hammered home how important it is for me to do this, right? So I have a handful of people in my life that I call and do these 10 steps with. And like Dennis was sharing, there's different people that I have learned, that I've gotten to know over the years. And so if there's a situation coming up, like maybe if with a family member over, you know, the will, I'll just use an example. If there's somebody I know that's gone through this stuff, or somebody's, you know, I don't have kids, right? But if I'm dealing with a situation, you know, I just find people that have some, you know, maybe have an experience with that. And even if they don't, I call somebody up and I'll be like, I need to do a 10 step. Do you have time? Absolutely. And, you know, my friends will listen and they'll be like, do you want feedback? And absolutely, I want feedback, right? Because that's why I'm calling, because it's not just, yeah, no, I'm good. And without a doubt, they'll point something out that maybe I didn't quite see in that light. And you know what? I don't get defensive, because before it was always taking things as criticism. Now it's like, yeah, you're right. Or no, I didn't see it that way, or whatever it is. But I need to be that humble, because I'm supposed to grow in understanding and effectiveness. And that experience, if it didn't teach me anything else, it really hammered home one more time, that I am not God, and that I need to pay attention to what's going on in my life and take time to continue that, keep that channel open. Because if not, look what happened. And it wasn't just coming over a day or two. This had been coming on for months, right? And no, I can't deal with grief myself. I couldn't. But, you know, I'm thinking, oh, I got this. You know, I dealt with my mom's death, and I dealt with so-and-so's, you know, or whatever it was. And that was the gift of God showing me. And nobody's attracted to me when I'm all crazy and angry. You know, what kind of message is that? And so the hopefully, I'm not going to do too much self-seeking when I do crop another resentment, right? And I can say there's more times than not that I'm not acting out, that it stops, you know, I get that little, and I know what's going on. And sometimes my sponsor used to say, you want to be right? You want to be happy. Sure. I'm like, aren't they kind of like, doesn't being right make me happy? That's what I used to believe. I lived by that creed for a long time. I still want it to be the truth. I keep fighting people to prove I'm right. So, and you know what? It costs me sometimes so much energy to be right, to force it down someone else's throat. And I realize now, I got those days too. I'm bulletproof, right? I don't have to say, you know, like, I got something going on right now. I have a women's halfway house down in Ocala, and one of the girls is, she's probably not sober. And of course she waits until I leave town to start totally acting out. The sheriff's come to the house because the bank called it on her because she's suicide, whatever, right? And the other girl's like knee-jerking because all she's in the middle of her fifth step and all her stuff is coming up. And I'm like, okay. And this one's sending me these texts telling me, you know, that everyone thinks I'm crazy and that it's all me. And I'm like, turn the keys over to the other person or I'm calling the police. And that's just my reaction, right? Like, I'm not like engaging with her. Like, you need to stop right now. And constant. And I'm like, I'm here, I'm getting a little aggravated because I'm like, can I, you know, God, can I just like enjoy myself? And you know what? I'm going to have to go back to my room and write out a little 10 step because, you know, poor me. Can I just have a little trip up here and relax? I deserve to relax. We all deserve to have a good time, right? But I opened a women's halfway house. I understand what happens. This is like young kids that once dad and mom aren't home or the substitute teacher's there, because the substitute teacher's there, and she's like, yeah, it's not so bad. I'm like, yeah, but this one's texting me and this one's texting me. Love and tolerance, right? I'm telling you guys, I'm going to go do a little writing. I'll probably read it to somebody. Maybe many of you. I don't know. But, you know, that's part of what this is, right? I pray. I like the getting on my knees immediately. I am going to start doing more of that because that's it. Because it's the minute I pray, the minute I ask something for help, it might not take it all away, but it starts to diffuse it, right? And, you know, I was drilled into me about thinking about how I can help somebody else, you know? And it's not just somebody who's an alcoholic. Although a lot of my friends are alcoholics in recovery, so a lot of the people I know are people through these meetings over the years. You know, I've been coming for a long time. I had, you know, some stuff going on. This was years and years ago, and fear and resentment were cropping up. And people kept on, you know, it was drilled into me. Think about how you can help somebody else. Think about how you can help somebody else. The more I'm thinking about somebody else, the less I'm thinking about me. So this was just a perfect example, right? I had three women that when I was in some stuff and I got a lot of fear and resentment coming up and I'm dealing with it every day and it's still coming up and it was just, you know, it was a bad, just a situation, right? So I'm like, okay. There were these three women had life going on, right? One had a breast cancer for the second time. One was going through a very, very, very bad divorce with a drunk. And the other one had an adult child who had just had a child and she was in intensive care and couldn't walk and they didn't know why. So she was a grandmother and her daughter, and then so here's a newborn. I was calling at least one of them every day, pretty much all three of them. Hey, how you doing? Can I help you? Do you want to meet at a meeting? Is there anything you need? Right? Because that's, I just need to think of how I can help people. Not just like, all right, like you said, got to call somebody so I'll feel a little bit better. And it became autopilot early on to try to help people and do things, right? And so when I'm in my stuff, the best remedy, look at it, talk to somebody, write about it if I need to, make amends if I have to, hopefully not, and then start, how can I help other people? Who can I help? Who can? And I'm calling people. I call people all the time. All the time I'm on the phone. I do 10 steps with people I sponsor, work with, whatever the, right? I do 10 steps. I make sure it's not about any situation or any person that they may know. But I'll call them up. Or if they call me and I'm in my head about, hey, you get time for a 10 step? And it just seems the phone rings when I need to do a 10 step with somebody, right? And some of them are writing or some of them might be on the other side. You know, I still have women that I worked with from the first woman that I worked with and help, and that I heard her footstep, her and I still talk on a regular basis. She still goes to meetings. She's in South Florida. I'm not. We still talk on a regular basis. I do 10 steps with her. She does 10 steps with me. You know? So this promise is that if I cease fighting everybody, I'm going to feel better and I'm going to be much more helpful to other people, right? And that I can't tell you the last time that I like had a craving for any substance, that alcohol. You know, every once in a while there'll be this like romantic idea of around like, oh, it'd be so nice to go to like some romantic Italian dinner with some man and have a boyfriend and drink wine. I'm like, what is that about? You know, and it's usually because I'm feeling maybe a little lonely, so I associate, you know, because both of them are my drugs, you know, booze and men, so, you know, why wouldn't I want the two of them together? You know, and it's usually that, like, what's going, you know, and that's usually what it is. And when I feel a little anger coming up, the first question I usually ask myself is, what's going on, and what are you afraid of? And those things are all linked together. And it gives me a good clarity of where I need to go. I heard somebody say one time, and this is how I used to do these 10 steps before I did this work, right? You know, I'd want, you know, continue to take your inventory, and when you were wrong, let you know, right? So that was my lifestyle, and it did me no good. So I, you know, it says I love this, to rest on my laurels, and that was a word that I looked up. My past accomplishments. So just because I have had an opportunity to come to a lot of these meetings, to do a lot of reading with different people, to listen to fifth steps, to listen to do third steps, to write an inventory, that's I can't rest on those laurels. So that's what I was doing to get up to that point where I find myself in the back room of this store imploding, you know, imploding with grief, imploding with fear, imploding with anger, you know, self-pity. And so I am so grateful that, you know, I didn't have to go any further and that I was humble enough to realize I was in trouble, that I needed to admit my faults, to ask for help, to make amends. So, you know, it's the promise is we begin to sense the flow of His Spirit into us. And some days I'm not paying attention to that flow as best as I wish I was, right? As I wish I could. But I'm really grateful that I don't usually drift too far, and I have not had that kind of a situation happen ever since. And hopefully if I'm willing, I know God, what God's willing to do, but it's a matter of if I'm willing to do. You know, so I pray for the willingness, you know, because some of the big book meetings I attend, they say, you know, well, I'm practicing steps, you know, the 9, 10, 11, and 12 to the best of my willingness. And it's not to my willingness. Sometimes it's to my mangledness. Because sometimes I want to hold on to stuff, right? And like, how uncomfortable do I want to be? You know? So, you know, we're going to talk about 11 tomorrow, but I kind of feel that, you know, I can't, these three steps to me really are ingrained with each other. Because if I am not doing 10, that meditation part, I can sit for an hour, but there's no peace. Because that mind of mine is, I'm, and I might not be consciously aware of it, but I'm unsettled. So if I'm not clearing this stuff up, it follows me around like a little pig pen cloud, right? And then if I'm not able to do 10 and 11, how can I be helpful to other people? Because again, us alcoholics are pretty, we pick up on stuff pretty, you know, I think we're pretty cynical. That's just my opinion. Pretty cynical. And I don't trust anybody, but I can sure pick up on somebody that I think is trying to sell me a bill of goods and they're not really, you know, they're talking, but they're not walking. And so I could be like, saying, quote you this book and be telling you all these wonderful things. But if I'm carrying around this stuff from step 10, I'm not helpful to myself or others. And my main purpose is to expand my understanding and effectiveness. And if I'm not willing to be humble, to look at this stuff on a continually look at this, I am going to not be able to be of maximum service to others. Because I'm not going to be able to be helpful. And not people are not going to be attracted to someone who underneath is sizzling with anger. And so I am grateful to have humility. I wish I had it all the time. And some days I'm better than others. And the willingness to do this work. And I'm, you know, there's a couple of times that I've had to sit down and do some extensive writing because I've kind of life's gotten busy, and I've kind of been like, oh, yeah, I'll get to it. But I have never, ever picked up or had the temptation to pick up since I started this work. And that is a gift. So I hope that if you are on the other side of reading your fifth step, that you don't hold on to some stuff the way that I did. But if you did, I wish you, pray for you to have the willingness to do what you need to do and know that we don't judge each other for making mistakes. And it's the people that share their mistakes and their tell me the truth about the things that they do that maybe aren't the best that teach me the most sometimes. So anyway, with that, I'm done. I'm ready to go to the bonfire and do some dancing.